As I mentioned, the message title this morning is Following God. And many times when we think about following God, we think about the big things in life. You know, God calls us to do something and we, you know, it's something big and we hesitate or we don't want to, or maybe we have the wrong perspective of a situation and we really want to. And God has to get a hold of us and say, no, wait a minute, you know, you're going into it for the wrong reason. You're going into it for a selfish reason. When God asks us to follow Him, we can be assured that He already knows all about the future. And we can be assured that He has it all planned out down to the very minute detail. Now that's easy to say when I'm standing here in front of you. It's a whole lot different when I have to live it out. Because you know, Satan likes to implant those questions and those doubts in our minds that cause us to resist what God is asking us to do. And there may be many. But this morning, whether it's a big or a small thing, God is asking us to follow Him. God is saying, I want you to follow my leading. I want you to do what I'm asking you to do. Many times, though, we struggle with that because we can't see into the future. We don't know what the future holds. God says, I want you to take this step, and right away we say, well, what about the next one and the next one? Because we can't see that. We can only see what's right here and now. God says, I don't want you to be concerned about that. I want you to take the step that I'm asking you to take now. Yes, but, you know, if I take this step, then what? What's going to happen next? God says, I want you to take this step. That's tough because we want to know what the results are going to be. You know, we want to know what's going to happen. You know, especially us men, you know, we look at things and we, you know, we have a plan. We have an agenda. This is, you know, we're going to do this and this and this so that this happens. And we have it planned out. And we don't, I say we don't, maybe sometimes we do move recklessly and take a step and don't realize what the results are going to be and then we get ourselves in trouble. But most times we're careful. You know, if I do this and this, then out here, I'm going to face this, or this is going to happen, or this is going to be the result. And God doesn't always show that to us. God doesn't always give us all the details. God doesn't always say, now, I'm going to have you take this step because I have plans for you to be here or there by a certain time in your life. I'll be very honest with you. If I had known in my teenage years all the things I was going to face in my 30s and 40s and 50s, I would have wanted to stay in my teenage years. But God doesn't show us all that. He asks us to follow Him. For a scriptural basis for the message this morning, I'm going to be taking my thoughts out of Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. The calling of Moses to go to Egypt and to lead out God's people. And we're all very familiar with the story. And we read over this story sometimes, and we don't actually put ourselves into Moses' position. And we don't actually take into consideration that Moses was a man just like we are. He had feelings. He had doubts. He had fears. And as we reckon with those facts, maybe we can be a little bit more understanding of where Moses was in this situation. I think I'm going to take the time to read at least most of these two chapters just as a refresher, and then we're going to go into the points of the message. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am now come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Surely I will be with thee. This is God speaking now again. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go out empty. Ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me, unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the second, of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it unto the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall say. And he shall be thy spokesperson unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren which are in Egypt, to see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And we could continue reading and see what all transpires, but we want to base our thoughts on these two chapters. We see at the beginning that God sent the flame in the bush to get Moses' attention. Moses was there in the desert. He was with the sheep. He was doing his everyday job. He was working for his father-in-law, and he was leading the sheep through the desert. There was probably not much there for the sheep to eat, and he had to move them around from place to place. That's how the shepherds did. They sought out a place for the sheep so that it would have place, something to eat and something to drink. And as he was moving about, he came to the Mount of God, it's called, Mount Horeb. And if you look into Israelite history, you'll see that that location has some real meaning. But when he got there, he didn't go there because he knew it was the Mount of God. He went there because he was doing his everyday work. And that's how it is oftentimes with you and I. We're busy with everyday things when God gets our attention. It's not often when we're sitting on the recliner taking it easy. It's not often when we're doing pleasure things, but it's oftentimes when we're busy that God says something and he gets our attention. And that's how he did to Moses here. He had this bush, and he sent fire into the bush. And I just heard, I think it was Brother Josh talking recently about some bushes over here along 322 that were burning one night, and those bushes were consumed. But this bush, there was flames in the bush, but it wasn't burning up. Now in the desert, in the hot desert, it wasn't unusual for a dry bush to catch fire. The bush burning was not that unusual a sight. But the fact that there was flames in the bush and the bush was not consumed is what caught Moses' attention. You know, sometimes God has to bring something into our lives that is a little bit unusual to get us to stop, get our attention, and get us to turn aside. And that may be many different things. It may be just a thought that he places in our minds. It may be something that happens around us that makes us stop and think. It may be a word from another individual that gives us some pause and has our thinking process started. But in one way or another, when God wants us to follow him in a special way, there's something that happens that gets us to turn aside from our everyday business as usual life and gets us to concentrate on God. And when God saw that he had Moses' attention, when God saw that Moses turned aside from the sheep and from leading the sheep and turned aside to look at the bush, God realized that God knew. How do you say that? Because God knew that, but Moses had his attention focused on what God wanted him to focus on. And then God spoke. And I'm not sure how you or I would respond if we stopped to look at something that was kind of unusual, and as we walked up to it, we'd hear a voice calling our name. But that was Moses' experience. That's exactly what happened to Moses. He was walking toward this bush, and God said, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Here am I." I don't know what I'd say. I might not even be able to say anything. I might be, you know, what's happening here? But Moses responded, and God said, "Don't come any closer. The ground that you're on is holy. I want you to take off your shoes. Because I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." He got Moses' attention and he identified himself. He identified the seriousness of the situation and the holiness of the situation. And as we face God in our lives, we need to recognize the high and holy God that he is. Because, brothers and sisters, I believe that if we don't recognize God in his holiness, we're not going to be willing to follow him when he gives us a hard task to do. It is only as we recognize God and who he is and what he is, his abilities,
His power, His holiness, and all the other attributes that we could mention, is only as we stop and we consider that this is the God that spoke to the Old Testament saints. This is the God that sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. This is the God that has no beginning. This is the God that was before creation. This is the God that spoke the word and the worlds were formed. It is only as we stop and we recognize how great this God is that we're going to be willing to listen and to follow. If God doesn't really mean anything to us, then His word isn't going to mean anything to us either. Well, God spake to Moses here. He spoke out of the bush there and He said, I've seen what is happening to my people, the Israelites in Egypt. I see that. Moses, I understand that. I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them. I've come down to deliver them and to take them to a land that I had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I've come down to lead them out and to take them into that land. And then in verse 10, he says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Here's where it gets personal. God is telling Moses what He's going to do, and Moses is probably rejoicing. Yes, thank You, Lord. Your people have suffered a lot. Thank You for seeing. Thank You for coming and leading them out into a land that is a blessed land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, a land where they won't have to be servants anymore, a land where they can have freedom. And then God says, I want you to lead them out. Has God ever done that to you? Has God ever shown you a situation and he said, and in your mind you realize that God knew about this situation all along, and in your mind you realize that God was going to work something out. You didn't know what, but God was going to work something out, and then he he says to you, I want you to go. I want you to go and talk to that individual about their life. I want you to go and face the enemy and to stand now. It becomes personal. We're ready to respond like Moses did in verse 11. Moses has questions. He says, God, who am I? Who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should bring forth your people out of Egypt? Who am I? Do you ever have that feeling? Who am I? I can't do this. It's way beyond me. Well, God says, and like he so often says to us, certainly I will be with thee. You know, when God calls us to follow him, he doesn't say, this is what I want you to do, and then stand back and say, why aren't you going? You know, no, he says, I'm going to be with you. Certainly. Certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a token. He tells Moses, now, to prove that I'm going to be with you, when you lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, you're going to come back to this mountain, to this very mountain, to this very place, and you're going to worship me here. Okay, that's fine. But what about between then and between now and then? You know, yeah, I'm going to come back here. Well, that's great to know that. But what about between now and then? You know, how do I know that you're with me between now and then? Moses still has more questions. He says, God, I really don't know you that well. I don't even really know your name. You know, you're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Yes, you're the God of the Israelites, but who are you? You know, just suppose I go to the Israelites and I say, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob spoke to me, and they say, well, what's his name? Because in Egypt, the gods had names. In Egypt, they all, you know, the god of the sun god and you know, this god was the god of the moon, and this god was the god of the river, and this god was, you know, and they had names. Now I go to Egypt, and I go to the children of Israel, and I go to Pharaoh, and I say, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of the Israelites, has spoken to me and has called me to lead the children of Israel out into the wilderness to worship him. Well, what's his name? How many times is our response like Moses? Do you see yourself in Moses? You know, we can think of a lot of excuses. We can think of a lot of things, you know. But God, I can't go because of this, and I can't go because of that, and you know, here Moses was saying, well, God, I can't go because I don't have a name for you. We think it's kind of a weak excuse, but put yourself in Moses' place. He's human, just like you and I. And God comes back to Moses and he says, this is my name. This is who I am. I am. And he goes on to give Moses quite a explanation of what's going to happen. He rehearses again there in the next verses, even down to the end of the chapter there. He rehearses all the things that he's planning on doing. He doesn't give him a step-by-step how it's all going to unfold, but he says, this is what's going to happen. I want you to go and lead the children of Israel out. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him you want to leave. And then God said something that probably caused Moses a lot of anxiety. He says in verse 19, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. In other words, he's going to use force to keep you there. He's not going to let you go. And right away, you know, our first inclination is, well, then God, why are you sending me? Why are you sending me to Pharaoh to lead out the children of Israel if he's not going to let us go? It doesn't make sense. You know, and then he goes on to say, but then I'm going to do wonders. I'm going to do wonders in Egypt, and you will go. After that, he will let you go, but you're not going to go out empty. You're going to take the spoil from the children from Egypt. You're going to take that along with you. I forgot to look what time this clock had versus that clock when I got up here, so I need to But so Moses then, okay, all right. Well, now this is, you know, this is really taking some complicated twist here. What all is going to take place? You know, that now he's questioning. He has more questions. And he hesitates a little bit and he says, now God, but suppose I go to Egypt. Okay, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go to Egypt now. And I'm going to speak to the Israelites. I'm going to say, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am has met with me and has told me to come and lead you out of Egypt. And then they say, God didn't appear to you. How do we know? How do we know God appeared to you? Moses is still acting like we do so many times, and we try and find every little excuse, every little reason that we can use to, you know, God, it just doesn't make sense. You know, if I go to Egypt, I take that step, I go to Egypt, then what? God says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? I got a rod. It's a stick that they carried, a walking stick, or maybe it was just a shorter rod, I don't know. But he had a rod in his hand. God said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. Became a snake. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. I don't know how big a snake it was. I don't know if it got bigger or if it was the same size as his rod. I don't know. But apparently it was scary enough that Moses ran away from it. Now God says, Moses, you go over there and pick it up by the tail. God is building Moses' faith. Moses went over there. I don't know how carefully he moved in on that snake. I don't know. We don't have all that information in the Bible here. It just says that he put forth his hand and caught it. Now, I have gone after snakes already, but it wasn't with my hand. I usually had something in my hand, some kind of a weapon in my hand, a shovel, a hoe, a rake, whatever. I didn't go after it with my bare hand, but Moses had thrown his rod on the ground, and it was a snake. So he didn't have anything else in his hand. God says, you go and pick it up. So he went over there and grabbed a hold of the tail. And it became a rod in his hand again. Now, I'm not sure what your response would be to that, but Moses probably stood there and he looked at that thing. I don't know. Maybe he threw it on the ground again just to see what happens. I don't know. It doesn't say that. Maybe he threw it on the ground, caught it again. This is pretty neat. I don't know. Doesn't say. But I can just imagine what would go through my mind if that were me. But then God says, okay, I gave you this sign that they would believe that the God of their fathers has met with you. But I said, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to take your hand and I want you to put it inside your robe. Stick it inside your robe. And he did that, and when he pulled it back out, it was white. It was leprous. It was a disease that was very dreadful. A disease that could kill. I don't know what Moses' response was to that when he pulled it out. I'm sure his eyes got big and he
God, why did you do that to me? And God says, put it back in again. He put it back in. He pulled it out, and everything was healed up.
God here is giving Moses a sign or signs that are not natural. It's not something that could happen. It's something supernatural. He is giving Moses signs here saying, this is of God. I'm sending you. But then he says, now, if they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second sign. But if they don't believe either one of these two signs, I want you to take water out of the river and pour it on the dry land. And when you pour it on the dry land, it's going to be blood. Now, Moses did not have the opportunity to see that happen before he went to Egypt. He had the first two signs. He didn't have the opportunity to try out the third sign. There was still a step of faith that Moses had to take. Finally, Moses says, God, I don't know. I don't know about this. You want me to speak to the children of Israel? You want me to speak to the elders? You want me to go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? And you want me to speak to him? Now, God, I can't speak. Moses here, still making excuses. God, I don't know about this. I can't talk. I wasn't a speaker before you talked to me, and even now after you talked to me, I'm not really a speaker. It's God, you made a mistake. Or God, you're not giving me what I need. I'm not sure exactly what Moses was saying here, but it almost looks like he's telling God that, you're asking me to do this, but you're not helping me. You're asking me to go and speak, but I can't speak. I still can't speak. I'm not a good speaker. I can't do this. And God says, well, Moses, who made your mouth? Who makes the people that can speak and the people that can't speak? Who makes the people that can see and or can't see? Isn't it me that makes them? Moses, if I can do that, I can help you to speak. I'm not asking you to speak now. I'm asking you to speak when you're in Egypt. Sometimes we want God to give us everything that we think we're going to need. God, just, we start reasoning through things. And, if I'm going to do this for you, well, what about this? God, I need this provision. And I need this to help me out. And, there's so many different things that we can reason. And God says, I want you to go. Remember, I'm going to be with you. I want you to follow my leading. God may not provide exactly everything that we think we're going to need when we take that first step. But he's going to provide enough that we can take that first step. And when he asks us to take the second step, he's going to provide what we need for that. And we find out, if we read on through Exodus here, we know that God gave Moses words to speak. And in Acts, it's recorded that Moses was a man of mighty in words and deeds. So God was with him. But here at this point, he wasn't too sure about that. He wasn't too sure how that was going to all work out. But God didn't let Moses go. He said, I want you to go. I made your mouth. I want you to go. And then Moses says, oh, Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Moses, in other words, is saying here, God, send somebody else. Don't send me. Send somebody else. Verse 14, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I'm not sure exactly what all was involved with that. But have we ever gotten to the point where we argued with God and we reasoned with God and we found excuses that we could throw in God's face, and we finally even got to the point where we're almost accusing God of not giving us what we need to fulfill what he's asking us to do? And God says, look, you're going to go. If you think you need a helper, if you think you need somebody to hold your hand and to be with you, I'm going to give you that person, your brother Aaron. I know he can talk. I don't know what Aaron was doing, but God knew that Aaron could talk. He said, I'm going to have Aaron go with you, and you tell Aaron everything that happened. And Aaron will talk to the people. And finally, in verse 18, Moses submits. He says, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go. He goes and tells his father-in-law he wants to go. And his father-in-law says, go in peace. And I don't know if his father-in-law had any idea what those words may have meant to Moses. Moses had all this turmoil and all these questions in his mind, and his father-in-law says, go in peace. Well, Moses went, and we didn't read those verses, but Moses went and he met with the children of Israel there in Egypt, and he showed them the signs. Aaron spoke to them, and Moses showed them the signs. And it says in verse 31, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Brothers and sisters, if we're willing to follow God, if we're willing to take that first step and then by faith take the second step and so on, and in each step rely on faith in God and come back to the promise that says, certainly I will be with thee, then God is going to have his way. Now we see here in verse 31 that it says the people believed and they bowed their heads and worshiped. But we know what happened after that. We know they got discouraged, and we know that they went through many things before they ever even got out of Egypt. But by that time, Moses was a surrendered servant to God. And he was willing to follow God no matter what. When Pharaoh said, nope, I'm not going to let you go. And I'm not sure what order they're in. I didn't read over that. But the flies came and the frogs came and the darkness came and the hail came and the fire came and the locusts came. And, you know, all those things happened. Moses knew that God was with him. Even when the magicians of Egypt were able to do the very things that God had asked him to do. When Moses cast his rod on the ground, the magicians cast their rod on the ground, and they became snakes too. But you know what happened? Somebody tell me what happened. That's right. Moses' rod that had become a snake ate up all the other snakes. Power of God was there, and Moses was a willing instrument. But he had to learn those things in the backside of the desert when he was trying to weasel out of it. And sometimes we're in the backside of the desert, we're there by the burning bush, and God is asking us to do something, and we just aren't quite sure. Brothers, sisters, take that step of faith. Rely on God. Use the tools he's given you. And when more tools are required, he'll provide them for you. He'll give them to you. He's not going to ask you to go somewhere that he's not going to lead and you can follow.